That's a good segue, if I'm using the word correctly, with what my brother was just saying here. And I want to give you some specific equipment tonight so you can go out of here practicing. Some of you have been, for some period of time, been waiting on the Lord for a move of God, and you've been involved probably in some different moves, different churches, different meetings, things like that. But a move of God is something that, you know, we read about in actually Luke chapter 10, where Jesus sent out the 70 and he told them to not stop moving. So that is a move of God, just point that out. I'm not trying to be funny, but he did tell them that. So don't keep going from house to house. And so a move of God is when a group of people or whatever you want to call it, a church or whatever you want to call it, they actually go outside the walls and they start home churches and they just keep moving and develop another church and raise up ministers and disciple, and it just keeps moving and it saturates a community. It's a brilliant plan laid out right for us in the scriptures, and I'm believing that that is something that I'm going to witness happen in Colombia. So, but we have to watch out for it. So it's important to be alert. You know, I say, my mother, I want to give you a word of encouragement there. Good hat, by the way. Good thing you're a Gamecock. Not that I'm against Clemson or anything. It's just I used to work for the Gamecocks, so I appreciate for them. But I just want to give you a word of encouragement because, you know, it talks about the watchman on the wall. You know, a guy that's a watcher, you know. And when you think about it, the way the Lord's been training you is he's training in the arena of observation and observing things, observing people. And out of that comes a move of the Spirit of God, words of knowledge being birthed within your heart. And the Holy Spirit's choosing to give you that because it's a tool, it's a gift for other people. And God wants to stir you up in that arena to begin to start to step out into it. And God's going to give you, it's simple as this, is when you're praying or you're praying for an individual or whatever and you bless them, if you just keep quiet for just a minute, the thoughts that come into your mind will be words of knowledge, and you just repeat those words of knowledge to that individual, and that will, you know, kind of prime the pump, and that'll be a very effective tool for you in your ministry because you desire to see people saved, you desire to see them set free. But when you give information to an individual that only God would know, that kind of will get their attention, and so you're going to see many people change their lives because of your obedience, because you're the one that's sent, you're going to be sent to them, and you're the timing of the Lord, and God's going to use you just at the right time and right season in their life to where you're able to stop them from making bad decisions. In fact, God has used you that way pretty regularly. If we really look at it, you are one that will be sent to a person about ready to make a bad decision, and a lot of times they make the wrong one, but I just want to encourage you in that ministry. God wants to strengthen you in that. Also, I see him giving you just a real thirst for his word. And it's almost like I see the God taking you back and opening up your Bible and reading it from the beginning again and giving you a different perspective than you've ever had before. You know, really opening up why things are the way they are and answering some of those questions that you have that are really deep within your heart. You know, what is this really all about? Or what is that all about? And God, Holy Spirit, giving you those answers so that gives you a better foundation. And that's really what's being laid for you. But I just really, and also just know this, that God is able to restore some things. The restoration is being released over your life tonight, where God's going to restore some broken relationships, and you're going to see God do it. You have the right heart in the situation. You want the right thing, and God is going to be able to begin to maneuver around and take some unseen things out, as I should say, that have been blocking this restoration in Jesus' name. Does that mean something to you, brother? Praise the Lord. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. I've already forgotten your names. Lizzie and Kylie? Kylie. Praise the Lord. Well, Lizzie, you know, I don't know if you've ever written a book, but there's just a vast knowledge inside of you. You are a book in a sense. I mean, you've got some adventures that would just be exciting to hear, but we don't have time to share them tonight, so I won't make you come up front. But I just want to encourage you. God literally has you on the adventure. That's all I got to say. And it's a little bit of a roller coaster, and it's not going to get too smooth just yet, but it's starting to smooth out. And God really has done a real work in your life, and this is real peace. He wants to bring you to peace, amen? Because you're not satisfied, you know? And the reason why you're not satisfied is because that call that he has in your life hasn't completely been identified yet. And once that identity comes into your life, you'd be able to like, oh, okay, now, that's who I am, okay? That fits good. And it's like all of a sudden now the direction is there. Because when you don't have direction, believe me, I can relate to you, when I don't have direction, it drives me nuts. I want to know where I'm going, you know, and I want it to be right, you know, and, you know, you don't mess around. You're like me. We could swap notes. I am not messing around. I don't mess around. I mean, give me a goal. I will go do it. And I will accomplish it. I am a conqueror, and that's just who you are. You're a real warrior. And so I just really want to encourage you that gift you've got, there's a little prophetess inside of you. It's a little, you know, and I mean, it's not a bad word, is it?
No.
This group wasn't real sure over here. You were, but they weren't. It's not a bad thing, but when I mean my prophetess, I mean, there's a real grit inside of you that God's going to use to, you're going to go against things. Just know this, you will not be for everything. And that's the way God made you, because not everything out there is of the Lord. And so you're going to find yourself in situations where you are the resistance. And it's a front, I mean, it's, if you really look at your life, those frustrations that occurred in your life because you were the resistance. And even though it seems like a very unethical thing of why God would use you in that situation, that's just what he did. And you learned something through that, and he trained you through it. And that's why you're strong. And so you are, I don't know, you're not married, are you? Okay, well, I'm gonna pray for your husband right now. Lord, I pray for him, in Jesus' name. The reason why I'm saying that is because he's preparing someone for you, and you're being prepared for them. And exactly what you want. You want someone strong, and you want a leader. And God's going to give you that, because he's going to give you beyond what you could ask or even think. So just know that part, okay? So that's all going to happen. Well, Lord, plan. But I just want to encourage you. That grit you've got is something that the Holy Spirit is just excited about. And that's why he's going to use you. And you're going to see many people come into the kingdom of God because of your obedience, because you were strong enough to stand up and say the right thing. It takes that. And that's why that whole thing, if you look back, that's why that whole thing all happened. Because it says, you know, when we're in the trials are wonderful, because it says to count all joy we encounter various trials. And most people in here have heard me say this, so you're going to hear it again for the 1,000th time. But the trial, where God says to have joy in the trial, it's joy is power. And the reason why a Christian rejoices in a trial is because the power of God, we're joyful because we know that the power of God in that trial is conforming us into his image. And it's true. And that's why the trials are there. And it was because it conforms you into his image. And I tell you, you bear the image of the Lord. I'll say that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sorry. Now she's crying. Now I'm going to make you cry. I guess. I don't know. Maybe you're not a crier, though, so it's going to take a lot. I mean, it's going to have to pull some stuff out to really get you crying. I've already forgotten your name again. Give it to me one more time.
Kylie.
Amen. God is so good. Kylie. You know, I hear that word of wisdom that comes up in my spirit. And the word of wisdom is a practical application for the word of the Lord. At least that's what I think it is. And if it's not, then he can correct me later, okay? But I see wisdom coming into you, where you have practical application of the word of the Lord. In other words, you will get a directive from the Lord and you will know how to apply it. And you say, well, I'm not that spiritual. I don't know if I could apply anything. It's a gift. You have wisdom inside of you that you know not of, okay? And God is using it and will continue to use it. And especially in the area of decisions. You know, I've made a lot of bad decisions in my life. Everybody, has anybody else made a bad decision in here? Okay. Well, you're raising your hand awful hard up there now. Come on. You've made some great decisions, actually. But we've all made some bad decisions, but there's something that you've learned in recent history about decisions. And around that arena is where the Holy Spirit was hovering and really starting to impart into you. And it's kind of like, well, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to do that again. It's like, and it started, the erected walls within you that were actually guides, you know. The horses have this, I'm not calling you a horse, by the way, okay, but I'm just saying horses have these blinders on. I'm not sure why they have them on. We have a lot of people that raise horses in here. But they have, why do they have blinders? Why? Does somebody know? So they don't get distracted. And God has put blinders on you so that you don't get distracted. There's a lot of people who have spiritual ADD, okay? They get distracted really easy, so they need medicine, okay? And God is putting, like, I'm not calling you spiritual ADD. It's more probably someone probably over there, okay? But it's like these things happen so that he might get you focused in a direction. It's like he turned your head to see something that you've never seen before, okay? And that is how he has created you. And he made you gorgeous. You need to hear that, okay? Because when you look in the mirror, you sit there and you look in the mirror and you critique yourself and, you know, like, sometimes my hair doesn't do what it wants, you know, and I have to rebuke it. And if it doesn't listen to me, I not only will rebuke that hair, I will take it and I will put something on it to make sure it goes where it's supposed to go. So I create the image of whatever I'm trying to do, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not to judge myself. I cannot drink out of my own reflection. I must drink out of the reflection of the glory of God. And that is what the Lord wants you to know. He said the enemy has tried to do a real number in your mind on you. And I break that tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. That clown is gone. That monkey is no longer on your back, right? Because what he wants you to see is how he created you. And you're going to start to drink out of that reflection. It's going to encourage you. It's going to strengthen you. And that wisdom is just going to flow out of you. I see a teacher within you where you're teaching. And I don't know whether it is you're what you do for a living or whatever, but a teacher is going to come out of you and it's going to encourage people to really get focused in their life. Your ministry is a ministry of focus. And you might say, man, I have been unfocused most of my life, and I don't, all of a sudden now I'm focused. Yes, that's you. You have a focused ministry. You're going to teach people and instruct them in the area of focus, and you're going to be amazed at how God is going to change people's lives time and time again. You are a real powerhouse in the Lord in Jesus' name. Are you related to him? Oh, my gosh. Praise the Lord. See, Charles? God can't work miracles. I always pick on people once they're sitting down. When they're up here, then I, you know, wait till they come down. Amen. God's so good. What was I talking about?
Jesus. Good answer. Good answer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah. That will happen. Let's move on. So, let's go to Luke. I just have two scriptures, and we'll get out of here. I don't know why I'm looking at my notes. This is useless, but I'll have them out anyway. Okay, good. So I don't know why, but I was over there, and the Lord somehow is tying a scripture in Luke together with a scripture in Isaiah. And I am in Luke in chapter 11. This is after Jesus is instructing his disciples how to pray. You know, Jesus really put a lot into his disciples. We know that when he was resurrected, he trained them for 40 straight days and nights. I would love to have been there. Can you imagine just every day, all of a sudden, Jesus just comes and trains you for 40 straight days and nights? I mean, you could do that. You guys should do that tonight. You go home, you get trained by him, get trained by him here, go home, get trained some more. You can do that. You can have that because he's inside of you. And so all you got to do is look in the mirror and you start teaching yourself as the Lord teaches you out of your own mouth. And you guys can tell me how it works out next week, okay? Nobody seems excited about these. See, I'll give you these good training. I'm giving you good training. I know. You go preach to yourself in the mirror until you see the Lord come out. Amen. And if some of you don't show up next week, I'll know where you are. Amen. I'm going to start praying. I had a church once. It was a karate studio, and it had big mirrors all the way across the back. I don't know, some of you might have attended it at one point. It was a karate studio. Anyway, it was so great having guest ministers because they would get up there and they would have to preach to themselves. And it really bothered them. You could see how they were like, some of them were like, Leland Davis actually liked it because I feel like I'm preaching to myself. And it was great. But sometimes, you know, it's good just to do a little bit of practice. So, I know I'm not making any sense. Let's go on here. So, I'm in Luke chapter 11, verse 5. This is after he taught them how to pray. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. Now, he comes to him at midnight, okay? I want you to picture yourself at your house, me coming to your house, knocking on your door, and asking for 3 loaves of bread, not for me, but for a friend who you don't even know. I know. Give me your address after this, everybody. I'll put it right there as a piece of paper around here. We're going to test this body. And from inside, he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find it, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. So you see here, there's a principle that Jesus is telling us. He tells the guy doesn't get up because he's his friend. He's only getting up because of his persistence. And this is some equipment that I want to hand to you. I don't know if that makes any difference, making a noise or not, but I did it anyway. I want to give to you persistence tonight. It's getting awful happy up here, isn't it? You see me transform and stop. So anyway, but so the Spirit of God, when it comes, it just, I don't know what it is. Sometimes it comes and just makes you happy, and I'm happy tonight. And God told me very specifically, I will share this with you. He said, stop being concerned about stuff. I mean, it was like that. And so I came in and went to my brother in the back there, and because he'll listen to me. And I told him, I said, what did I say?
God told
you not to be concerned. That's right. And then my sister comes in, Penny. She comes walking in and She comes right past the beautiful sign my wife made, didn't even notice it. Just walked right on here and says, God has a word for you. And she goes, don't be concerned. I mean, just like out of your mouth, did you not tell me that? Now, I say that to you because I want to tell you why God told me this. Because I was being concerned. And he said, stop being concerned. And I go, okay, does that mean I'm not to care? Now, I don't really get in discussions with the Holy Spirit like that because I know what's going to happen. Why is he telling me not to be concerned? Because when you're concerned about things, when I'm concerned, I am concerned about this world. He doesn't want me to be that way. You know why? Because that's not faith. Especially if I'm concerned about things that he's promised. And I always do that. I went through about 2 weeks ago, I was in a bad mood for a few days. And normally my family knows this. And it's not that I'm mean or anything. It's just they know they can tell. And I'm in a bad mood because I'm mad at myself for being in a bad mood because I'm being concerned. But it took a word from the Holy Spirit to tell me to stop being concerned. It really got to me because I said, well, you know, that's so easy. To not be concerned. I'm just not getting, I don't care. And so I have something right now that normally I would be concerned about and I don't care about it. It's because he said, don't be concerned. So, you know, you're just really following the Lord when he says, stop being concerned. You know that being worried can keep you from being prepared for the return of the Lord? It says that in Luke. We worry about this life way too much. And it rules us. And I can't be effective as a teacher. I can't be effective of bringing word of the Lord to people if I'm going to be concerned about things that he doesn't want me to be concerned about. I think that really helped a lot of people in here. I really did. It helped me just to say it. Because you think about, you come in here, you spend half your day trying to get it off of you. But then if you just hear from the Lord, when the Lord says, don't be concerned, I mean, it's like, well, you know, it's like, thus says the Lord. It's not up for debate. I'm not discussing this anymore. You stop being concerned. He's probably been telling me this for 30 years now, maybe. You know, it just finally just clicked, you know, finally heard it. Stop being concerned. The worries of the world will choke it out every time. So whatever you're combating or whatever you're up in, whatever, you're being concerned about it will not resolve it. Because if you're not concerned about it, now you're operating in rest and in peace. Now the wisdom of God can flow and you can just, you know, take care of whatever you got to take care of. You know, and if there's no bread there, then he'll multiply it somehow. And that's the thing about it is, because you know when God's going to do something, you get to the point, I guess, where you're like, man, I can't wait to see how he does this. I've known a few people like that. This guy had this business, and he goes, well, if it blows up, it just blows up. Let it blow up. How do you do that? Well, you know, it's God's. It's not mine. If he designed it to blow up, and it's going to blow up right, spectacular, hopefully. I just couldn't understand the guy. But finally, I'm starting to get it. Okay, I'm going to move on here. So, persistence. Now, I'm going to tie this into Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. Verse 6 says, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. Now, that word appointed is very important because, and Charles was really hitting on this earlier about the calling, that we all have calls. But there's a difference because some people are called, and then there's some people who are chosen. Or we could say there's a calling, there's an activation. But there's also an appointment, okay? It says that we all have a divine appointment. We have the unction, we have the anointing permanently within us, and we have that divine appointment with God. It's permanently within us. But, you know, the Apostle Paul was appointed. We know that Jeremiah was appointed. So it says, on your walls of Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. Now, to get an appointment from the Lord, now we all know what it's like to get a job, to get into a, an interview, you know? And we are being, it says in the scriptures that the Lord looks to and fro throughout the earth to see whose heart is after him or completely after him. And when he finds that individual, he comes and strengthens them. And so that interview that you are looking for is taking place now. You are being interviewed. He is observing you. Not is he just observing your actions, he's observing your hearts. So he knows what you're thinking. He knows what occupies you. He knew that I was being concerned. He was dealing with an arena of my life that he wanted to root out, and his timing is always perfect. He gets me right at the right time, where not only would I listen, but I have the ability to apply it because he was training me over in these other areas some years back. I didn't realize that was going to kick in now, but he knows how to put it all together. That's why the trials and the things in life that you and I enter into, what we don't realize is how he's putting the puzzle together. Well, why am I dealing with this? Why am I dealing with that? And all of a sudden you find out that you didn't know that you had the Lord inside of you, that he had done some type of a work that made you strong in an area that you didn't even know that you had, but he put it all together over a period of time. It says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so there is an appointment. So you are being interviewed in the Spirit on a daily basis. Now, in saying that, do you want the job? I mean, do you want the job? I had was thinking about something. I might get a phone call, and I might have to, if the Lord led me to do this job again or whatever, and I've been concerning myself. Well, if they call, there's going to be some things that are going to need to be established for this individual to take that job. See, the thing is, do you want the job? You have been called. And you are being interviewed. But you have to determine whether you want the job or not. And if the job does not have a description yet to your liking, do you still want the job, or have you already put parameters on the job? You see? And remember what remember Peter... They said, I want to drink the same cup that you have, Lord. He says, you don't know what you're asking. But because you asked, yes, you can. I mean, he didn't sit there and give him, well, you know what, Peter? You're going to be crucified upside down. You see that, Craig? But it's going to happen to you upside down. I mean, he didn't go into detail and tell them all that. They wanted it. So you're at that stage maybe where you just want it. You may not know what the job exactly entails, but do you want the job? And I think you need to answer that between you and the Lord. So there's an appointment, okay? On the walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. Now these watchmen, now I know you think watchmen, you think of that word watchmen, a lot of times you think about prophet, and yes, that's true, that prophets are watchmen. But watchmen were people that back in those days, you know, where they were looking out at the, on a tower and looking out and seeing if the enemy was going to have a sneak attack or what was going out over there. Or there were watchmen that were over fields and crops to make sure that the animals didn't come in and eat it, or people didn't come in and steal the crops. And then you had the other watchmen that they basically just made an announcement in the morning, hey, it's a new day. That you could be a watchman in your own house. You can get up in the morning and tell everybody, hey, it's a new day. And everybody would love you when they're so asleep and they don't want to get up, and you come in and tell them, hey, it's going to be a great day. Don't you just love that person when you're sleeping and you don't really want to get up, and they come in and they're just all so happy. It's all so full of God to come in and, hey, you know, it's going to be a good day. You like getting up in the morning like that? I do. I like to hear that because I'm the watchman. I'm the one that gets up in the morning. I control it. I love that part of my life. Amen. Let's move on. So, on the walls of Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen all day and night. They will never keep silent. They don't ever stop. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until what? Until he establishes. And that's getting back to that piece of equipment I want you to walk out of here with, persistence. And that's what Jesus was talking about there. Because of the persistence, the master of the house got up and gave him his loaves for his friends. And you are a watchman on the wall. And you are to be persistent and to take no rest and to give no rest. Because when you start engaging and praying for people, it's not a one-shot deal all the time. Sometimes you got to get back before the Lord again. And then sometimes it seems like you're in his face. But if you really want the job, if you really want to be a watchman, if you really want to be used of the Lord, you must have this equipment. You must have persistence. You can't walk out of here without it tonight. You've got to have it. You need it. And you think about it. Some of you in here that maybe you've not been ready to quit, but you're about at the end of your rope, and you're just crying out, saying, Lord, I'm at the end of my rope. And you know what he says back to you? Hooray! I must not be God. I heard a prophetess say that once. I couldn't stop laughing. She went out in back of her, I guess she lived in a mobile home or whatever. It was Marianne Brown. You remember Marianne Brown? If she, I don't know what she lived in. I just picture her in a mobile home out in the field yelling, God, I'm at the end of my rope. And the Lord answered back, hooray. She said, must not be the Lord. And so she yelled again. And God said, hooray. And he said, even when you're at the end of your rope, my grace is sufficient. So what is it that you need? You need to be persistent. It isn't a time to fold up. It's a time to get mean and to get grit and to go after it. Because you're calling, you're going to stand before him. I say it every week maybe. We're going to stand before him. Did you do, he's going to say, did you do what I sent you in the earth to do? Yes, I did. I did. You know, we got to be, that's what it's all about. This is truth. That's why I know that it's possible for me to live a life and not be concerned anymore by the power of the Holy Spirit and by truth, to know the truth. Jesus says, you'll know the truth, and the truth what? Shall make you free. I need to be freed up in that. It made me free because the truth is that God promises, guarantees us to not just take care of us, but that we will live for eternity. If we accept the sacrifice of his son. When we're born again, we get a lot more than we ever, some Christians never ever realize what all they have. But I guarantee you, with persistence, you can knock on that door and knock on that door. And get a determination. This persistence that's being imparted to you tonight, it's not a human persistence. This is the power of the Holy Spirit persistence. The kind of persistence that makes you walk out of the door. I cannot wait to engage this thing. I cannot wait to do it. I want to get to that place. I want to be whatever Todd learned about not being concerned. I want that. I want it. I'm not going to walk out here without it. You know what I'm saying? If nothing else, even if this is just lasts for tonight, it's okay with me. I mean, I'm really enjoying it. Because I'm sure he's going to throw stuff at me and try to get me. But you know what? Just the more stuff that comes, the more convincing proof I have that I can't be concerned anymore because exactly, I just know something just clicked. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Some of you may need some prayer. Some of you may need a word or something or whatever, and just we hang out for that. So you don't feel like you've got to, if you didn't get ministry or you need some, just come on up, and we've got prophetesses and prophets and got watchmen here, and we've got healing people here and all kinds of different things. So you don't have to walk out of here. You know, you need some prayer, get it. You know, this is a place to get equipped. It's a place to get some strength. And I'm really excited about what God's doing with everybody here. I really am. I just see solutions and just some real advancement in ministry. And I believe what Charles was sharing about Columbia. I've heard it in the past many years ago about a move of God coming out of this city. And you guys are part of that. So even though we aren't completely in Columbia, we're in the outskirts, and that's okay. We're close enough. So just be encouraged. You know, God wants to give you some persistence. You know, some of you have been, you know, it's like I look in the spirit and I see some of you running this race and you're just like, I need some air. And you just got it. And now you can go on. You know, everybody, any man or woman of God, the scriptures, you read it. You know, Elijah was in desperate places. The woman with the minister to the Shunammite woman, you know, her son that she was given, you know, remember, he he died, and she was very persistent. She said, no, this is not, God isn't going to give me a child to then have the child die. And she just wouldn't, she went right straight to the man of God. And she saw her son get resurrected. It's one of the resurrections in the Old Testament. But she was persistent. And you got to be that way sometimes, especially when you're interceding for a friend. You'll know when you pray for an individual, you'll know when it's time to stop. You get to a point where it breaks through. And sometimes it's days, saints. You may be in prayer for an individual for days. And some of you who are just intercessors, and you know this to be true, something just isn't right and you're praying, you don't even know what you're praying for, and you got to stay in there until it breaks. But don't stop. You watch him on. You who remind the Lord, don't stop reminding him until he establishes. It's not that he's deaf. It's not that he didn't hear it the first time. But we also know in Daniel that when Daniel prayed, it said from the moment he prayed, his answer came. But it was withheld for 21 days. Why? Because of the angelic beings, the rulers of wickedness in heavenly places withstood. It doesn't say who it was. We think it was Gabriel. We don't know. We know that Michael came, and there was warfare, spiritual warfare that occurred over his prayer of just wanting to know what the vision meant. You don't know, and we don't know a lot of times what's going on in that unseen realm. Your prayers, you don't know who you're even interceding for at times when you pray in the Spirit. You may be interceding from some ministry on the other end of the planet. So I just want to encourage you. You are more significant than you know, and you're a big threat. We have absolute, complete victory in the blood of Jesus. There's nothing that can stop the gospel of the kingdom of being preached to this whole entire world, because Jesus said it would be preached the whole entire world and the end will come. These are his words. You can walk right out on water on his words. And when you start giving people the gift of eternal life that Jesus is only found in Jesus, when you start to talk about that and pray for someone, let me tell you something. That expands the kingdom of God. There's nothing that can stop that. And you will find that out. But there is everything that will come at you and me to try to keep us from spreading it. He can't stop it. The enemy, the people says, doesn't the devil think he would know? He doesn't think. He knows he's lost. He's just trying to maintain himself by keeping the church in check. But he can't stop it. They're out of jobs. It says in the scriptures that we will judge the angels. God is going to restore everything back the way it was in Eden, Garden of Eden. It's all going to be restored. And I really would encourage you just to take a look, open that Bible and read it from again and again and again. God wants to give you some more information. When you start to really understand about the rebellions that took place, the three rebellions, we'd say, well, you know what? Why is this world such a mess? Well, it was because of the fall. But if you ask a Jew back during the Second Temple, he would say, well, there were three reasons. There were three rebellions. There's so much in the Scripture. There's so much in this Bible that's lurking to be found out by you and me. That's why it's such a great, great thing. Amen? Lord, we just thank you for your blessing in this place. Lord, I just ask you that you would continue to impart to those that are here tonight, the power of your persistence. The ability, Lord, to be able to walk and not be concerned as you say it. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you'd strengthen those that are here tonight, Lord. Lord, if there's anybody in this room tonight that does not know for sure that they are going to be in heaven, that doesn't know for sure that they're saved, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to just draw them here so we can pray with them tonight. And Lord, if there are those here tonight, Lord, that has not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but would desire to have tonight, Lord, I ask you to have them come up as well. Lord, we bless you and we thank you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.